This is a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. Go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
It's 5 o'clock on Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
Yeah, that's right. It is Friday again. Well, it's actually Thursday, but you're tuned to a Friday Rave on Community Radio 3CR. You're here with Mercedes, here with Jake.
Hello, everyone.
And yeah, Community Radio 3CR, you might be listening at 855 on your AM dial via 3CR Digital or your favourite listening app or the copper chopper in the sky. That's been pretty quiet down here, actually, the last few days, to be honest.
Has it? Well, it's been pretty quiet up here in Brewarrina too, to be honest.
Ah, oh, sounds there's lovely to be no up there.
No ceiling fan in Brewarrina.
What are we going to talk about today?
I don't know, the fish traps. No. What we
That'd
should
be
talk
preferable.
About. Yeah, it'd be preferable, wouldn't it? Well, there are a couple of things we need to talk about. His gormlessness.
Mm-hmm.
Been in the news lately, again. Not as much as he should be.
And not for the reasons he should be.
Not for the reasons he should be. I mean, we've even got defence analysts talking about reshuffling the ministry and finding Richard Marles a job more suited to his intellect. I mean, this is.
I don't even know what to make of that.
Exactly. It's just saying the guy's a tosser. The guy's an asshole. He doesn't. It's an embarrassment, an absolute embarrassment. The only reason he's there is because we got Albanese from ostensibly the left in New South Wales, which then means that the deputy has to be from Victoria and from the right. All right. It's nothing to do with what anyone's good at.
The balance of powers.
The balance of power between fuckwits and arseholes. So anyway, we should talk about a couple of things that Richard Marles been up to. We should talk about Iran. Critical minerals.
I do want to touch on actually the Land 156 that we briefly talked about last week, and there's been an announcement for a contract in the last couple of days, just yesterday, I think, in regards to that. But last week we did talk about wanting to we didn't really get time, as we often don't, but to get to the Geelong Treaty.
That's right,
And you had some really good points on talking about this earlier.
Well, this is it, the Geelong Treaty. What do we know about Geelong Treaty? First of all, we don't know a hell of a lot about it because it's not listed on the Australian Treaties database so far, and things are taking longer and longer to appear, and I guess that's, you know, fair enough. But it is a treaty we are entered into. It hasn't been ratified by the Australian government parliament yet, but because it's got to go to the treaty sub joint standing committee on treaties, and it's going to be passed, there's no question. I mean, I can't see the opposition party saying, oh no, this gives away our sovereignty for the next 50 years, we better not do this. I mean, I can see Dave Shoebridge and some of the other Greens, and you know, maybe, you know, Jackie Lambie and types saying things, but it's going to go through Parliament. But what it does is a few weeks ago now in Geelong, we had the British Defence Minister over, and his name is John
the
Healy.
Fuckwit. John Healy.
Yeah, that one. John Healy. And they signed what was called the Nuclear Powered Submarine Partnership and Collaboration Agreement, which has now been renamed the Geelong Treaty, so that Richard Marles can have Geelong go down in history. Now, it's A 50-year treaty. We know that. We know that it's about the development of nuclear submarines with the United Kingdom, and it's about transferring money. Now, the money's not going to be transferred from the United Kingdom to here. The money's going to go from here to the United Kingdom. There's no dollar sign been put onto it, but they have been talking about investment into the UK shipbuilding industry.
Much now, like the quote-unquote, you know, for want of a better word, the briefcases full of cash that have been taken to the US as part of this as well.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, it's, well, it's still briefcases, isn't it? I mean, you know, back when I was a young bloke, it was paper bags full of cash, and then it went to briefcases full of cash. Now it's probably potato sacks full of cash by this stage. But what they're talking about is a whole lot of things, and nothing new really comes out of it except it locks us into this thing for 50 years, and it's about designing, developing, manufacturing submarines and disposing of their waste.
Mm.
All right, so this just totally, again, in line with other things we've done, opens the door and says we will dispose of nuclear waste. Now, I know the ANPAR conference, all the anti-nuke crew are getting together in South Australia next week, and we should talk to some of them and see how much this is on their agenda.
Mm.
But the crazy thing is, and I don't know how to put this, it's like it's just another treaty, and it's like you're building a house out of Lego blocks, and we're looking at all, and this is what we do on a Friday rave regularly. We talk about all these little Lego blocks, but we're not talking about why we're actually using Lego. We need to, or what I'd like to do in sometime in the near future is take a step back and say, why are we doing this? What is it all about? What direction are we heading? Because, I mean, you look at, let me just find this brilliant quote here. John Healey, the UK Defence Minister. Well, first of all, Richard Marles, in his talking about the Geelong Treaty, he talks about the biggest industrial endeavour in our nation's history, bigger even than the Snowy Hydro scheme, deliver the biggest leap in Australian military capability since the formation of the Navy in 1913. And it's John's and my honour to sign this treaty today.
We did this.
And then John Healey, the UK Defence Secretary, you're going to love this. Well, I won't read his whole thing. It is a treaty that will fortify the Indo-Pacific. It will strengthen NATO. Now, what the fuck Australia has got to do with NATO, I don't know. We're not in the North Atlantic, all right? But he says it will fortify the Indo-Pacific. What the fuck the UK has to do with the Indo-Pacific, I don't know. Sorry. It will fortify the Indo-Pacific. It will strengthen NATO. And we're the politicians signing it today. And this is a treaty that will define the relationship between our two nations and safeguard the securities of our country for our children and our children's children. So two things there. First of all, can you imagine someone now, let alone in 5 years or 10 years, when talking about Australia's relationship to the United Kingdom, saying, well, it's defined by the Geelong Treaty that John Healey and his gormlessness signed in Geelong back in, when was it, last month? Or, July, yeah, last month. But then it's irrelevant. It is not a defining treaty. This is just politicians talking shit. But the really scary thing is he's saying, safeguard the security for our children and our children's children.
Mm.
Safeguard our children's children's security by building nuclear fucking submarines.
It's fucking outrageous. It sounds like,
we're not under threat.
Mm.
We're not under threat. And even if we were under threat, nuclear submarines are not the thing that would stop them. I mean, nuclear submarines are becoming irrelevant. And even if they weren't becoming irrelevant, do you not? You know, we've spoken before about the United States. In order for them to fulfill their obligations or their promises or whatever you want to call it, under the AUKUS agreement of getting Australia a Virginia-class submarine, they'll have to double their submarine production. The United Kingdom are so far behind, they need to triple their submarine production before they could even have anything spare to send to Australia. Now, this isn't about them sending. This is about them building their submarines in Australia and us building them with it. But it's ridiculous. They haven't got...
Well, I was just going to say, and if we wanted an exemplar of this thing that was going to protect the security of our children's children, where would we look? Subterranean, underwater? Where would we find this exemplar at the moment?
We'd find them on the dry docks. Now, I need to apologise both to yourself, Mercedes, and to other Friday Rave listeners. And a few weeks ago when I was talking about Talisman Sabre, I spoke about the UK aircraft carrier group that was over here, and I included HMS Astute nuclear submarine. I was wrong. That is normally with the carrier group, but I've only just recently found out, since we made that it's on dry docks.
Mm.
So it wasn't here. The United Kingdom has not got a single solitary nuclear submarine in the water today.
Which is not a bad thing in and of itself.
So we're
going to
safeguard, even if we believe. Oh, it's wonderful. I think all nuclear submarines should be on dry docks.
Yeah.
But if we even I try to get my head around, I try to put my head in the position of somebody who believes this shit, that believes we need to do these things to protect ourselves from China, because that's what it's about, China. Mm. But even if I believe that, and I said we needed to get a nuclear submarine fleet to protect ourselves from China, the last place I would look is the bloody United Kingdom.
Mm.
The second last place I'd look would be the United States. I'd look at France, I'd look at Sweden, I'd look at Russia, I'd look at China. But why would you look at places that can't even keep up with their own production?
And I think the timing of the Geelong Treaty, you know, is just following the UK review of AUKUS. And whilst the US review is currently underway, which is why his gormlessness was in the US, a big party was in the US with JD Vance and Pete Hegseth this week, reaffirming the commitment to the alliance. And this is something that I just find weird, you know, Richard Miles having to fly to the US and say that we reaffirm Australia's commitment to the alliance, as if, you know, we're on the one hand, we're kind of, they're saying all the time that the US is Australia's biggest ally and we're, you know, these are our most important allies. Then why the fuck do you need to keep reaffirming commitment?
Oh, it's like a really, really bad relationship, isn't it? Do you love me? Do you really love me? Do you love me? It's creepy. You know the weirdest thing I found about it? We're seeing JD Vance, Pete Hegseth, and Richard Marles all in their matching polyester blue suits. It looked like a real estate agent's convention. Seriously.
Well, that's really what they are.
Exactly. Apart from anything else, it was a crime against fashion. These guys, crying out loud. It was like, I urge people to go and just type their names in and look at a picture on the news. Forget about what they're saying and just look at these three bullet head dickheads.
Yeah. Chuck bag ready.
Oh, but anyway, enough.
Yeah, but Richard Miles being in the US just this week, talking about whilst the US is undertaking its review of AUKUS and going there again of sort of like not denying that it will increase its defence, Australia will increase its defence budget. Not outlining a figure. I mean, it's set to go to 2.3, but that'll the investment program will be under review next year. The Australian Defence Investment Program will be under review next year. But also reaffirming the critical minerals, you know, as part of this that we said is kind of a bargaining chip in the tariff trade war. But also as a part of AUKUS while this review is being undertaken, of saying, you know, we're here to, we have lots of critical minerals. How can we provide them to you on a blue
What
suit
do?
encrusted platter?
It's that's what they're doing. They're making critical minerals. They're called critical minerals. Critical minerals, listeners should understand, has got the word critical has nothing to do with any geological or chemical, whatever, property they have. It's that they're critical to the defense industry. That's why they're called critical minerals for new technologies, which is the defense industry. And basically what Miles has gone to Washington, the Pentagon has said, by the way, the Pentagon has claimed that no official meeting took place between Miles and Hegseth. But we have, as I said, we've got photos of them. And he was also there with, people like Marco Rubio. But what they're doing, they're pushing Australia to lift defence spending, and they're also pushing Australia to be a source base to increase their critical minerals production for the United States. So you know more about what's happening with critical minerals than I do at the moment, mate.
When it's about this kind of, you know, made in America, and made in Australia, the mine to magnet pipeline, about shoring up those minerals for the defense industry. And it's spun under the guise of renewable energy, of course, and that's the way. I mean, the US are a little bit more upfront about the reliance of the military industrial complex and the defense industry for critical minerals, but in Australia it's sort of being pushed as renewable energy. But within every announcement that's made about critical minerals, defense is always mentioned.
It's always there.
And this is the bargaining chip in terms of, you know, of a trade war with China. This is that a part of that bargaining chip because China currently has the monopoly. And on rare earths are included within that critical mineral. And again, like critical minerals, the rare earths, they're not technically rare, it's just that the processing to get the end product is a lot more intense. It's more intense.
What
And
are
so,
called rare earths are some of the most common elements on the planet. It's just that they're hard to process.
exactly. And so, you know, there are projects that are currently underway. You know, a couple of months ago, Aston Resources have just got in Donald here in the Mallee, have got approval for a rare earth mine, and they've teamed up with a company called Energy Fuels Incorporated, which is a US company. And one of the byproducts of that rare earth mine, which Energy Fuels has the offtake agreement for, one of the byproducts of that processing is uranium. And so this is a way to get around the ban on uranium mining, is that the byproduct and the rare earth concentrate that will be sent to processing in the US by Energy Fuels, I guess, that sweetens the deal, is that uranium is a byproduct of the processing.
It's a critical mineral, isn't it?
And
Oh, it's
it's,
crazy.
I mean, and that's a little bit of a side note. I kind of, you know, we weren't going to get into that. But in terms of what we were talking about of the nuclear waste, just another announcement that's happened this week, definitely urge listeners to go on to Declassified Australia and read Jorgan Doyle's articles about militarism in the UK, in the UK, militarism in the NT. There's also a Substack that you can find online of militarism in the NT, which goes through a lot of the companies that are involved in the build-up in the Northern Territory. But in Declassified Australia, there's a really good couple of articles, an important couple of articles about the nuclear waste dump that's being developed about 130 km south of Alice Springs, called Chandler nuclear, it's a Chandler waste facility. So it's a kind of a salt mine where they're going to get the salt and then put nuclear, low-level nuclear waste. And so that's owned by a company called Talos Holdings, who have contracted the US company Amentum Holdings, which is the second largest non-equipment contractor to the US government after Leidos.
Yep.
And so Talos Holdings have contracted Amentum Holdings to undertake their strategic review. Now, Amentum Holdings provide all of the services, including housing and catering and whatnot, to Pine Gap as well. So they already have a pretty large base of people in the Northern Territory, in Alice Springs and at Pine Gap in particular.
Yeah. And now they're moving to Tukala.
To Tichakala. And sorry, I said low-level nuclear waste was what initially they said that the Chandler project was going to be for, but it's shifted to high-level nuclear waste, specifically from the reactors of the AUKUS subs.
Right, okay. And that's, yeah. We
And
should
what an
do something.
announcement is yeah, what an announcement that's happened this week is retired Major General Fergus McLaughlin, who jump online and just look up his name, and he's had his fingers in all of the pies, has just been announced as a senior advisor to Talos Holdings, in specifically in the areas for the disposal of high-level waste and for critical minerals. And that's just happened
Fergus
in the last couple
McLaughlin.
of that's just happened in the last couple of days. And so this is a fella, so he's a senior advisor to defense for Talos Holdings, which I just mentioned. He's currently a senior advisor to Drone Shield, who we talked about last week. He's also a consultant, a part of the revolving door of defense lobbyists, as F.A. McLaughlin Consulting, directly to the government. He's a director at L3Harris. He's the director of the AMDAR Foundation, which are the mob that run Land Forces and Avalon. He's a director at Invicta Prospects. He's a director at the Sir Richard Williams Foundation, who the Sir Richard Williams, we won't go too far into that, but the Sir Richard Williams Foundation, the chairman of Sir Richard Williams Foundation is Mark Binskin, who was appointed to go to Israel and found Israel of no wrongdoing when they conducted the airstrikes against the aid workers, including Zermi Frankom.
Bin skin. I mean, Fergus McLaughlin, Gus McLaughlin. I mean, he reminds me of, Eddie Maguire, that people called Eddie Everywhere. Because every chat show, every game show, every sports commentary, every radio station, this is this bloke's equivalent in the second-rate military. Wherever you look, whatever company's doing the nastiest deals, whatever. You just keep coming across this name, Gus McLaughlin, and till eventually you go, who the hell is this bloke? But anyway, look, the Australian government has said is Iran is behind the two anti-Semitic t attacks, one of the restaurant in Sydney and one of the synagogue in Melbourne. And this comes from what's his name, Mike Burgess from ASIO, and they've expelled the diplomats and recalled their diplomats from Iran or sent them somewhere else to a nearby so they could sort of be there but sort of not be there at the same time. Now, there's two interesting points for me, or three, I guess. I don't know. We'll find out how many there are. First of all, it shows just how quick the Australian government can implement diplomatic sanctions and measures when they want to. All right. There was nothing stopping them. All right. Just like there's nothing stopping them with Israel. The second thing I want to mention is we've been told Iran is such a bogeyman and how evil they are and how dangerous they are and all the rest of it. And I'm not here to defend Iran. I mean, the Iranian government's probably just as peace loving and concerned with democracy and all the rest of it as the Australian government is, as far as I'm concerned. But we're always told how dangerous they are. Now been accused of international conducting terrorist acts in Australia. And what they've done is they couldn't even burn properly. I mean, if these are the biggest threats to capitalism in the world, I reckon the capitalists are home and hosed. It's absolutely ridiculous. And another thing I want to remark on is that this will do wonders to Mike Burgess, the arse clown that he is, who keeps telling us. I mean, according to Mike Burgess, I think it was, China's going to invade Australia sometime this year. He made that a couple of years ago, so he gave himself a few years. But I think it's next month, September, might be October. I don't know, it could be next week. Mike Burgess is he's away with the fairies. And he
And clutching
and
at
this
straws.
and clutching at straws, and it's going to do remarkable things for ASIO's budget, for ASIO to say that they've uncovered these plots in Australia. In fact, the last time ASIO uncovered anything of this magnitude in Australia was when Tim Anderson was accused of bombing the Hilton Hotel back in 1978. Everybody believed it was that's what happened. And ASIO's budget went through the roof, and then years later, everyone knows now it was an inside job. Everyone, it's admitted, it's like part of historical record. All right. But the other thing I want to point out is something else that happened in the last couple of weeks. Is that, do you remember, dear listener, back in September in 2022, in the first year of the Ukraine conflict, or the current Ukraine conflict, the Nord Stream pipeline was blown up. And everybody knew it was the Russians. Sanctions were imposed on Russia. Russian diplomats were expelled all over the place. Everything was happening. Last week, I think it was, the German government has finally found that it's a Ukrainian military honcho who orchestrated it, and quite likely did it with the full knowledge and concordance of the Ukrainian military and/or the Ukrainian government, and possibly Zelensky himself. We don't know that for a fact. I mean, obviously, how could we know? But there's people are saying that he was possibly at least knowledgeable of the situation. Now, this is, at the time or shortly after that, when Albanese got elected, he one of the first. What's the trips he went on, junkets he went on, was to NATO. What the fuck has Australia got to do with NATO? Where he was pictured, I never forget the interview with him on the television where he was brought to tears, calling Zelensky a hero and talking about the courage of the Ukrainian people. All right, these are the people now who blew up the Nord Stream pipeline, which stopped energy supplies getting to Europe, made them more dependent on US companies, and no one wants to talk about the fact that we've found out who done it. I say that in relation to the Iranian situation, because I've seen no that I don't expect to be given evidence, of course not. Things are national security, you understand those sort of things. But
But the term's credible intelligence, how credible is it?
oh, well, it's an oxymoron, isn't it? It's especially when it comes out of ASIO or Mike Burgess in particular. But anyway,
But
so
I
I
guess
just
the
wanted to.
term of credible intelligence without evidence, which we're never going to get, is like this kind of a reliance of trust and upon not saying that we know whatever which way.
Yeah. We know what ASIO is about. They're not about protecting Australia. They're about maintaining the current situation, the dominant paradigm. That's what they're about. Now, the other thing I want to raise very quickly, just to put a doubt into people's minds, is that how quick Israel came out and said that they provided the information or they pushed Australia. It just smacks of involvement. Who knows what happened is all I'm saying. That's all we
That's
got
us.
time for, sounds of it.
Yep. Stay tuned for Slacker Radio. This has been a Friday rave on Community Radio 3CR. And we will catch you next week.